Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Pastor Cole, and I just wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to our message of the week. We pray that this message encourages you, it inspires you, and it builds your faith in Jesus. We love you, and we hope to see you in person at one of our services soon.
Hey, everybody, it is Pastor Brandon from Resting Place Church, and I am here with Pastor Cole, and we just wanted to sit down this afternoon and answer some questions that you have been getting a lot from people from our church, people from outside of our church, just kind of asking what it's like to do ministry here.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that people are sending in questions, people are, you know, kind of watching from afar and letting us know, and they are curious as to what God is doing at Resting Place Church, and I think it's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I just want to kind of create some time to just sit down and kind of talk about Resting Place Church all together for, you know, people who are, I mean, anybody can listen to this, obviously, but, you know, we there's a lot, obviously, that's going on here that people see and like. And that's being, and we see it up close all the time, that there's people's lives that are being changed.
Yeah.
And that's really, it's really the goal, obviously.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's really cool to see, like, just wanting to be in ministry for so long in your life and then starting to walk in it and then actually seeing the change that you make in people's lives is.
How long have you been on staff here now?
Oh, gosh. We are coming up on. I think like a year and a half now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Getting close to a year and a half anyways.
Yeah. I can't remember. Everything just seems to run together for me.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was so crazy, like, thinking back, because it was in the summer that I got hired, like, towards the end half of the summer. Mm-hmm. And whenever that came up last year, I was like, oh, it's been a year now.
Yeah.
Like, this has been so fast and also, like, so long. Like,
I remember when we hired you. And I remember the conversation that I had. I said, you know, I don't feel like it's fair to say that we are a house that cares about those coming after us. And we have money in the budget to hire a kids pastor. So why don't we just do it?
Yeah.
And it's been obviously so fruitful for our church and fruitful for, just really everything that we have going on here. It's been really good. Probably one of the better decisions that I made.
Well,
so.
Same.
Yeah.
Deciding to just take that plunge and, like, jump in. I think that's been one of the coolest things, too, is, like, just knowing, like, I'm going to jump in, do this. This is what I came here for, and just let God take care of the rest of it, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, we'll just start, you know, going down and answering some questions.
Yeah.
What are some things that you've heard that's been asked? Because we've talked about this a little bit, so this is not totally, you know, us going into this blind. We've kind of had some conversations.
Right.
But I haven't really hashed it out because I wanted this to be really organic. And I wanted it to be meaningful for people who really want to know. I didn't really want to have a script.
Sure.
So, with that being said, let's just start with, here, I'll let you ask me a question in a minute.
Okay.
But I'll just start with, what's it kind of like there on a Sunday? Like, I kind of get that question a lot.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so, tell me what it's like from your perspective.
Yeah, my perspective
I don't even know if that's fair for me to do because you're hosting the podcast, but always. Well,
yeah, no, it's so funny because for so long, like, I've been a part of the church since before we started, and I was on the worship team for so long and doing things in the worship department for so long, and then switching, you know, mindset of what a Sunday morning looks like after I took over the kids department was super interesting, and some of those things, like, still hold over. Like, I was so used to getting here, like, super early for rehearsals on a Sunday morning for the worship team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily have to do that anymore for the kids department because I have time throughout the week to get stuff set up. I don't have to run a rehearsal in the morning to do sound checks. But I still get here at like 7:30 in the morning just to see how sound check is going, go start setting things up. And I think the reason why I do that is because that's just kind of become the pace of how I do ministry.
Yeah.
Like, I get up earlier on a Sunday, so whenever I walk into the kids department, I'm never scrambling, really, to get things set up.
Yeah.
That's something I wanted to be super intentional about, especially, like, over the past 6 months, you know, starting whenever we changed mm-hmm. the name to Resting Place Church and, like, just being really intentional about it. I'm just like, let's just get here early, so that way, like, if there is an issue, we can go ahead and solve it, but there's never, like, that scrambled, like, scattered feeling on a Sunday morning, because mm-hmm. I don't want to go into service having prepped for service feeling scattered.
Yeah, I think that's good. Like, one of the things that we, or, like, we talk about this in staff meeting a lot, is, like, we want this to legitimately be a resting place.
Right.
And so, if it's scattered or it feels anxious or anything like that, like, it's not going to be that for people.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And so, we want it to be a resting place. We want it to be a place where you can come and, I mean, literally, like in Psalm 23, where the Lord can make you lie down in green pastures and lead you beside still waters to restore your soul.
Right, yeah.
And we want you to be in a place where this feels very, I want this to feel like home for people.
Yeah.
I don't want it to feel institutionalized.
Right.
Even though that there's some of that, like, institution type thing that has crept into the church, like, not our church, but just the church at large. Right. And let me say this. I don't mean institution by, like, a way of doing worship. Like, I don't mean that, like, churches who are more formal or high church are doing this wrong.
Right.
Because, you know, as much as anybody, I love high church.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm ordained.
Exactly. Yeah.
In a high church culture. But what I do mean is that where people are thinking about the institution first. Mm-hmm. They're thinking about the church first.
Right.
The institution of the church first. And I think something we do really well here is that we don't do anything without people in mind first.
Right.
It's never about PR. It's never about the church. It's about the people that are coming here and how we can serve them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think a big question, kind of piggybacking a bit off of that, is, are we affiliated with the denomination? Is a huge question we get constantly. Yeah. If people are looking for a church in the area and we suggest that, one of the first questions everybody asks is, well, what denomination are you?
Yeah. So
are we affiliated with the denomination?
No. No. But I will say this. We're not affiliated with a denomination. I have two ordinations that I'm really, really thankful for and proud of. One is with Integrity Ministry Alliance, mm-hmm. which is Pastor Robert and Josh Gay.
Okay. Yep.
So, and then the other one is with the Diocese of St. Anthony. Mm-hmm. I'm a deacon in the Diocese of St. Anthony. So, so our church is not affiliated with any denomination, but I am affiliated with people,
right,
who can hold me accountable,
yeah,
as a leader and a pastor. I think a lot of times what people are really asking with when they ask, are you affiliated with a denomination, is who has the final say?
Right.
And, or is there authority in place? And the answer to that question is, I have a board of overseers. I have a bishop now.
Right.
And I'm not Catholic. We're not Catholic. I'm right. married. I have kids, whatever. And if you want to know more about that, talk to me later. But the reason that I have all of those things in place is because we are in a church culture now where there seems to be, if it's a free church, there's no structure in place to keep the lead pastor from abusing power.
Right.
And here, I think we really have a church culture that it is by God's grace, I think, that I took this church over and I was a peer before I was a pastor here.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, that being said, there would be such a deep internal conflict with me, and you know me well enough to know this, that I would not be able to bear the burden of this if I felt like that I had to lord over people.
Right.
Because that's just not in my nature.
Right.
Like,
the times when you have to even, like, tap into that is so exhausting for you from what I've experienced.
I hate it. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It makes me want to quit, like, every time. I understand that I have to wear that hat, too. But my focus and priority is pastoring the people of this church.
Right.
Not doing things that I don't really want to do. But we are not affiliated with the denomination, but we have a system in place here to keep anyone from abusing power. I mean, we have a financial board that's in-house.
Right.
Right? We have a structure set up to where power is not being abused, and we get to take our, what we would consider our tithe, and give it away.
Right.
To the community. So that's a lot of times what people, I think, are asking. Or they just may be like, they just may be actually looking for a Church of God. They may be looking for a Church of God of Prophecy. They may be looking for an Assemblies of God.
Very true.
They may be looking for an Ark Church. But, you know, we don't have any denomination affiliation simply because we don't feel like we... We say yes to the good things that come from everywhere.
Right.
And so we say yes to the good things that come from ARC. We say yes from the good things that come from the Assembly of God. We say yes to the good things that come from the Church of God. We say yes to the good things that come from the Anglican Church. We say yes to the good things that come from the Catholic Church. We say yes to the good things that come from the Church of God of Prophecy.
Right.
Yes to the good things that come from the Baptist. Yes to all good things. Yes to good things that come from the Charismatic movement. Yes to good things that come from the Prophetic movement. You get the point by now, hopefully.
Yeah. It's like Pastor Brian Zahn says, he's like, I like to have an eclectic faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's going to pull good from all of the sources, like, throw out the bad, keep the good.
Yeah, and I think that's, my Bishop Chris Green says it like this. He says, we do not get to tell people where God is not.
Right.
We are responsible for pointing people to where God is.
Right.
God is in all of those movements that I just mentioned.
Right.
He is working for people's good.
Yeah.
In all of those movements. Do I agree with everything? No. But our church is not, we are not building this church around, 28 essential points of doctrine.
Right.
Or 39 tenets of faith. Like, right. we're not doing that. We're building this church around what we know to be true about our faith, which is the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, but the most part is we gather around the person of Jesus here.
Yeah.
And so I thank God for every denomination on the planet.
Yeah.
God is doing something good in all of them.
Yeah.
We are just a group of people that believe that we can have the good from everything and we can do away with the bad from everything.
Yeah. And I think that too, that kind of like flows well kind of like into this next thought process is, we try to pull things from all these different, denominations, views of our faith, things like that. But what do you think really makes our church, this church.
I think we have a view of Jesus. We've taken the good things from our past and we put it on the table and we say, what does this say about Jesus? Or how does this talk about Jesus in a faithful way?
Right.
How do these things talk about Jesus in a faithful way? How do these things that we've experienced teach us about who Jesus is?
Yeah.
I think what makes Resting Place Church, Resting Place Church, is the things that you do see,
yep.
which are ways of life and our dream for people's life, which are our ways of life is we gather on Sunday, we live in community, we prioritize family, we serve our neighbor, and we give generously. Our dream for people's life is that your heart would find rest in God as we learn to practice the ways of Jesus faithfully. Those are the things that you do see. That's what you see that makes this church Resting Place Church. What you don't see is that this is a family,
right,
that genuinely cares for one another, and we're going to make sure, like, when you're with us, you're with us.
Yeah.
If you're hurting, we'll scoop you up.
Right.
We want you to be a part of our family.
Right.
We want you to be a part of this church. We want you to be part of this.
Yep.
We want you to come to church here. We want you to find rest inside of a church family. I take pride in being a local church.
Yeah.
That has a vision for this city,
right,
first, and a vision. I say a vision for this city. Let me say this. A dream for this city first.
Yeah.
And a dream for the people that come to this church first. We focus on pastoring the people that are here.
Yeah.
More than we focus on preaching to the people that are not here.
Right.
And I like to think that we do a pretty good job of being faithful with what we have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was something I was going to tack into it too, is like, I think there's just such a genuineness of like the love for people and the love for Jesus.
Yeah.
Cause so many people on our staff and even within our church, you know, we've heard all the deconstruction stuff. We've gone through all the things, you know, we've gone through these fires, you know, we've done our best to come out on the other side and just find a more true faith in Jesus and just keep those things and just share those things.
Yeah.
And we have just stripped so much stuff back where it's like, we're only going to do the things that we feel like we need to do to serve our community.
Yeah.
Because that's what God has called us to do. Like, yep, we are called to serve these people, and yep, that's all we're going to focus on.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not that we are internally focused, but in some ways, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, we are here to serve the people of this city, and we do outreach all the time.
Right.
Like, we make it very easy to get connected here. If you're listening at all, you can get connected here.
Right.
Scan the QR code on the back of the seat.
Yeah.
Meet us at Connect Point. We want to have a conversation with you.
Sign up on a small group in the app.
Yeah. It's like we try to make all of this easy as possible and accessible as possible,
yeah,
because we believe what we do is important, and we believe what we do is changing lives. And
as authentic as possible.
Yes. Like, yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing we hate more than just like fake ministry relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we want to genuinely connect with you.
It's just not a thing here.
Right.
Like, it's one of the things that we have found to be true, and, you know, I hate that this has happened, but there have been people that have come to our church that thought because they were connected in certain ministries that were big or whatever, that they would get special treatment.
Right.
Or something like that. And it's like, hey, guys, like, we really take pride in being a family here. We love that you come from where you come from. But that does not make you any more important than the person or the single mom that's sitting in our church.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't make you any more important than that person. And I think one of the things that I've tried to do with my own life, and, you know, I realized that this was happening, and, you know, like, God takes us through seasons,
right,
of life to prepare us. He gives us, I heard, this is a good thing from an evangelical church world. Everybody always is asking the question, what is my purpose?
Right.
And I think your purpose is whatever God has asked you to do right now, do that really well.
Yeah.
And so you worked in this environment too, but before we worked in a job that was not full-time ministry, where on any given day we would be talking with a CEO or we would, mm-hmm, be talking with literally a janitor.
Right.
Like, that works at a company.
Right.
And that works for major companies.
Yeah.
And it's like, can we treat both of those people with the same amount of respect, with the same amount of dignity? Can we have, this is important too. I think people are afraid to say this. The conversations with those two people are not the same.
No.
because those two people need different things.
Right, and they don't care about the same things.
And, but the thing about it is, can you approach those conversations with the same spirit? So when a person walks into your church who's a millionaire, or a person walks into your church who doesn't know how they're going to eat next week, can you give them the same amount of attention,
right,
knowing that the conversations can be different between the two people? Because a lot of times you're not going to be able to do anything financially or monetarily for the millionaire.
Sure.
But you might very well be the answer to prayer for a mom who is trying to get back up on her feet.
Absolutely.
Who needs something in your church. And with the millionaire, you might be the person who helps set them free from, I'm not saying that all millionaires are greedy, so please don't hear me wrong, but you may be the person who...
Depression, though.
Yeah, depression, because of whatever reason, and burnout,
yep,
and whatever, but you may be the person that has a conversation with them that helps them follow Jesus.
Right, follow in His way.
Yeah, follow in His way.
So their heart can find rest.
That's right. And so... I think we are a church who does both of those things really well.
Yeah.
And I think it comes from...
Well, I think the bridge between what, you know, the mega millionaire cares about, mm-hmm, and what the person in poverty cares about is your care for those people.
That's right.
And our people genuinely care for people.
Yeah.
And our staff care for people.
Yeah. I think something that has shifted in me, and I'm going to try not to get emotional talking about this, but I was out of town this past weekend, and it was my birthday. I was getting ordained, all of that, and I was a little bit sad that I was not at church.
Sure.
And I just wanted to hug the people here.
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to, I was thinking about, like, Wesley France.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give him a hug, and I had no really good reason why. I just wanted to give him a hug.
I'm getting ready to go on this trip, and like we're going down, and I'm like, man, the boat doesn't leave out till 2.
Yeah.
Church ends before 2 o'clock, but there's no way for me to get from Knoxville to Miami. 2 hours. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
Not even.
It's not going to happen.
Unless you have been holding out on us and you have some sort of like jet stream.
Yeah. Because I'm like, I want the best. I want to see my people and also go on.
Yeah. So, yeah. This is what it is.
Yeah.
So. So I think that's what makes this church what it is.
Right.
Is that we genuinely do care for everyone. This is not a game for us.
No.
I'm not in, like, I got delivered from a spirit of competition a long time ago. And by a long time ago, I don't mean like forever ago, but a long time ago since I've been the lead pastor here.
Yep.
And I don't need to be impressive to other church leaders.
Yeah.
That's not what God's called us to do.
Yep.
God has called us to love people.
Yep. There was a moment where that like started like bubbling up. We were at a conference, and these guys walked up and we were chatting.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out one of them was like 21 years old. He's like, yeah, I've been working at my church full time, you know, for the past year. We have, you know, 700 something people come in a week, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, here I am, just turned 30, you know, finally have my job in full-time ministry. We have a much smaller church compared to that. And I'm like, I don't care. I love the people that we have. Where it's like 10 minutes before that, it's like, I want to be impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've finally done it. I've made it. I've checked off the boxes. I can be impressive now. There's always going to be someone so much more impressive than you are.
Yep.
And I was like, I don't care. I care about my people. I care about what we're doing. I love what we're doing. And this is what's satisfying, not being impressive to people.
Yeah. And it's not, when we say that we care about our people, I think it's very important to like make sure that people understand we want you to be a part of this.
Yeah, exactly.
And not only that, I want to be part of your story.
Right.
I want to be part of your life.
Right.
I don't want to control your life or do whatever, but I do want to be part of this.
Right.
I want Resting Place Church and me as a person. Like, I want to know you, and I want you to get to know me.
Yeah, it's like whenever people, like, talk about their culture, and they're like, yeah, it's my people, it's our people. It's like, it, because it just genuinely feels like this is like our safe place. This is our resting place. And if you come, you are a part of our people here. Mm-hmm. We aren't just a church. We aren't like, we just don't go to church together. Like, we are a church together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's like a verse somewhere, and I'm trying to find it, but it's like, the Spirit does not give you anyone that He does not desire you have.
Yeah.
And so, something along those lines. It's in the gospel somewhere. We take it very seriously when people come be a part of this church.
Yeah.
Like, because we believe that God is giving us these people.
Right.
To help, to walk with, to walk alongside of.
To care for.
To care for. And so, I really, really, what will set you free from a spirit of competition faster than anything on the world, anything in the world, is when you understand that growing is not your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, watering and sowing seed is.
Yeah.
And trusting that, hey, maybe you can't handle 200 people right now.
Right.
Maybe you can't handle 600 people right now. Maybe that would kill you. Maybe that would do something to your pride. Maybe that would do something, all of that. Maybe it would do something to you that God would not have it do to you.
Right.
And there may be other places that these people are right now, but God will do something in you.
Yeah.
That gets you to a place where you can handle the people that you need to handle.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think, I mean, of course, the resounding question that I especially hear more than anything is, what's it like being on staff here?
Oh, well, answer the question, Brandon.
It's great. Sunday is one of the primary days of the week that I work. You know, I kind of talked about what a Sunday morning looks like, yeah, at least in the kids' department. Very similar over here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's part of being on staff. It's great that it's my job to focus on caring for the people that come to church here.
Yeah.
That's always such a hard question to answer, because it's like going up to someone and asking literally anybody on the face of the planet, mm-hmm. what's it like working at the place that you work at?
Yeah. One of the things that I will say as the lead pastor here, and I think our staff would probably attest to this, my focus as a lead pastor is not hiring people to do a bunch of busy work.
Yeah.
I've been in environments where churches just needed you to do a bunch of busy work to be impressive.
Right.
And it's like, we want to be like this church, or we want to be like that church, or we want to do this, or we want to do that. It's like, no. The primary role for staff members here at Resting Place Church is to bear the image of Jesus.
Yeah.
So more than anything, bearing the image of Jesus is what I want our staff doing.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have jobs.
Right.
Obviously, we have tasks to do.
Right.
Obviously, there are things that we have to get done. But more than anything, I want you looking like God.
Yeah. Like,
to your everyday world. And what I have, this is where I am the unpopular one.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have office hours.
Right.
We have meetings.
Sure.
But we do not have office hours because, like, for instance, our worship pastor, she has two little girls. I never want to be the church, or I never want to be a church where the kids of the staff members on staff here grow up to hate church.
Right.
Because they were absent because I gave them some stupid project to work on.
Right.
And the important thing is that we are present with our families.
Yeah.
Are there times where we could be present with our families, but our whole family is here?
Absolutely.
Yes. But it's not, it's most certainly not a thing where everybody is dreading going to this event.
Right.
Used to be that way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Before we made changes right here, it used to be that way. But now we have really embraced a life that is formational.
Yeah.
Rather than externally focused.
Yeah. And I think, too, like, you kind of hit it on the head of, like, we don't like to... It's not that we don't like to do a bunch of busy work. It's just we've simplified down to where we don't have a bunch of busy work that we need to be doing. And so, like, whenever people ask me, like, what's my job, I find myself more often than not, like, explaining more of, like, the philosophical side of my job. Because it's like, there's not, like, yes, there are things that I have to do every single week.
Yes.
But those tasks are so mundane compared to, like, what we are actually doing here as a mm-hmm. church. That doesn't even feel like work. Those just feel like, you know, just check off a couple things in the morning and then we'll go actually do our job.
Yeah. It would be much easier to, just to have tasks that we just come in and knock out every day. But obviously, that's not the nature of our job. The nature of our job is being in the lives of those who call this home.
Right.
Who call this place home, who see these people as family.
Yeah.
And I think it's unbelievably important to know that ministry most of the time looks like that.
Right.
It looks like doing the things that you have to do so that you can do the things that you're called to do.
Right. Yes.
And there are things that task that you do that you have to do that will make the things that you are called to do easier yep. and more effective. So, for instance, yes, I have to sermon prep.
Right.
I'm a pastor.
Right.
Yes, I have to sermon yeah. prep. So there are times where I have to sit in my office and I have to do the hard work of study. And I have to do the hard work of just sitting with God in silence.
Yeah.
And that work becomes transformational to me. But I want, especially for people that are listening here, I want people to hear this prophetically. There is a day coming where children won't hate that their parents are on staff at churches.
Yeah.
And it'll either come by us leaning into what the Spirit is doing in the sense of God wants us to be whole people who are leaning into our own formation, who bear the image of Jesus, or it'll be through trial and fire.
Right. Right.
And people getting fed up with the church and fed up with ministry and quitting.
Yeah.
And then landing in a spot that is a place where they love.
Where they have a healthy work-life yeah. balance because. Yeah.
See, for me, it's different for me. And I think different people are different. Personalities yeah, 100%. Are different. Personalities are different. I have to have a heavy dose of both.
Yes.
I have to have a heavy dose of work and a heavy dose of play, and a heavy dose of seriousness, and a heavy dose of lightness, right. I guess. There are some people who don't work that way.
Right.
There are some people who are like, we are going to be here Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., an hour for lunch, and that's just what we're going to do.
Right.
And I say, if that's you, go do that.
Cool. Right.
Amen. Go right. do that. Like, I don't have anything against that.
I think one of my favorite things about being on staff here, too, with, like, the way that we do ministry is, like, I, with the ADHD and everything, like, I do, like, I need the flexibility of the way that we do ministry. You mm-hmm. know, it's like, oh, this just popped up. It's 7 o'clock at night. Michaela's teaching. I'm just going to run to the church and do this now. It's not that big of a deal because it's like, we're not trying to execute tasks for the sake of tasks being done.
Yeah.
Everything we are doing is to serve the people.
Yeah.
So long as it gets done before it is time to serve the people and we can verify that is done well, we're good to go. Like, we're
good to go. You know, like, one of the things that I was noticing is that we had a meeting that was really pointless one time.
Mm-hmm.
we had a consistent meeting that lasted for about 3 weeks.
Yep.
That was incredibly pointless and a waste of everybody's time. And then so what ended up happening was, because we changed something, that meeting was no longer needed.
Right.
And so I'm not just going to keep a meeting if it's not needed.
Right.
You know more than anyone. I view our Tuesday meeting, our Tuesday staff meeting, as just a time to connect with our entire staff.
I know. I'm like, we talk about like what's going on with the church for about an hour, and then we spend the other 2 hours like just talking.
Yeah. If and it can be an hour, or it can end up being 3 hours because we're just joking around and having fun.
Right. But I think that's so important, though, because we like each other on staff.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And yes, we have different departments, but everybody is so in the corner of everybody else.
Yep. There used to be a thing here before we switched the name to Resting Place Church where there was a real... How do I say this?
I don't want to say divide. Disconnect?
Divide's not the right word. Oh, there was a serious, like, territory.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Territorial thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is my territory, so you don't say you a don't word about this.
It. Yeah.
And it's like, that's not why we're in this.
No.
We're in this to serve all these people.
Right.
This is all of our territory.
Yep. Like, I can speak into outreach, you know, Emily can speak into kids, can speak into, you know, worship can speak. And we don't care. If you have a good idea, we all have the same heart of serving Jesus and serving the people of our church in this community. So what are we doing with it?
And it's like, obviously there are things that are not appropriate for another apartment to say to another apartment.
Right.
But it's like throwing up an idea is never wrong.
No.
And so... There is something about knowing that everybody on your staff is for you and for your church.
Yeah.
And for what you're doing that is just good.
Right.
And I would say this too. If you have a staff member or you have someone that you are, that maybe you're not sure if they're for you and for what you're doing and for your ministry and for your church, they may not be.
Yeah.
But also, they may absolutely be, but you may be drowning their voice out
right.
every time they say something. I can say this from experience. If you do not feel like that you have a voice in the room, you will figure out a way to either get a voice
right.
or you will leave the room.
Right.
Lead pastor, I haven't been doing this long, but this is what I do know. If people do not have space... to know that they can voice a complaint without being berated or verbally abused, or if they can push back on an idea, whatever, then you're going to have a very tough time keeping people actually bought in.
Yeah.
You will have yes men
right.
that are really good yes men.
Right.
But you will not have people who own this thing.
Right.
You'll be paying people a good check, and you will convince them to have a good attitude all the time, no matter what.
Right.
More times than you. The reason that you're having to convince people to have a good attitude all the time is because they don't like what they're doing.
Right. I mean, it's almost like in sports, you can tell the players that are bought into a team mm-hmm. versus the ones that are fine with being free agents.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we don't, that's another thing, like staff here, we don't hire free agents.
Yeah.
Like, we only hire, like the next person that will get hired on staff here, they already know it. Our church already knows it.
Right.
It's not like a big thing.
Right.
Like everybody already knows that Jansen...
Yeah.
Be hired on staff next, full time, because of the work that he puts in,
like
all
for
the
me
time.
Too, it's like,
I mean,
you
unless
like,
they're
going full-time,
unless they're literally is like a position that like we absolutely like have to just right. hire all of a sudden, like I mean, that's my plan, and everybody knows that. And then I would love, after that, I would love to hire Wes on staff full-time. I would love to hire – I make this joke all the time. I told you we were going to be real and raw in this. I make this joke all the time to, like, Katie. It's like, Katie, I'd love to hire you on staff here, but you're a nurse practitioner, so I can't really afford to do that. But it's like, I would love to hire Jansen on staff full-time. I'd love to hire Wes on staff full-time. I would love to hire Tom on staff full-time. I would love to hire all the people on our team, on our lead team. I would love for there to be a spot for them on this staff full time, and our church operate, you know, more like a, I don't want to say a machine, because it'll never be that, but I would love for there to be so many people receiving from this ministry that we have to have that many staff members.
It's not
like I just want to hire these people because they're all my friends. I want to hire these people because they help make this place what it is.
Yes, and it's like, and for me, like, if you are full-time staff, you are an investment into your church.
Yes.
What investment have you put into that church?
Yeah. And I think, you know, with all of that being said, I just love our church.
Yeah.
I love being the lead pastor at this church. I love getting to serve the people of this church. There's not a place that I would rather be on the planet.
Yeah.
If there was, I would just go there.
Yep.
It just is what it is. I love this place. I love being on staff here.
Like, I've gotten the question before, and, like, someone's like, you know, would you still go to the church there if you didn't get paid anymore? I was like, absolutely I would. I was like, I didn't get paid when I first started going to church here. I would quit before I would let my paycheck harm the church financially.
Yeah. And that's kind of, I mean, like, that's my thing, too. It's like, and I don't think people really understand this. This has to be experienced, I think.
Yeah.
This church is what it is, not because, it is what it is to the people on staff here. I think Emily would say the same. Not because we get paid by this church.
Right.
This church is what it is because of the people that come here.
Yeah.
And I love the people that come to church here.
Yeah.
I don't just love that I get paid by the church.
Yeah.
Like, I tell people this all the time. Like, if I wanted to be rich, I wouldn't be doing this.
No.
So, but it is a, you know, we try to make it staff-wise. I focus more on formation of the people on staff, where they're at in life, more than I focus on how can we make this church the biggest, baddest thing in town?
Right.
Well, we don't have enough money to do that.
Our conversation, and, like, I'm realizing this now that we're having this conversation on a podcast because it is so not on our radar in meetings. I don't know the last time we have actively thought about how do we grow the number of people coming to our church.
Mm-hmm.
It has always been, how do we make services better for the people who are coming?
That's exactly right. Yep. How can we serve our people better?
And the more we've talked about serving our people better, the more our church has grown. Because when people are served well, they want the people in their lives to also be served.
When's the last time that we've talked about in a staff meeting, what's our culture like here?
Right?
It's like, no.
It's on the wall. We know. We don't have to talk about it.
We don't have to talk about it. It's here.
It's what we live.
We do these things. This is a way of life that we're called into. Yeah. And we're called to care for these people pastorally.
Right.
And so, but that's really, you know, that's some of the main questions that I get asked. Any other thing that you think I should hit on while we're here?
Yeah, I think that's all. We've reached about 45 minutes. I think that's a good little spot to close it out. But if you guys have any other questions about this, I think this is a kind of a good platform, just a little random impromptu podcast. We'll pop in every once in a while. I'll answer some questions that you guys may have.
Yeah, shoot me questions. DM me. Text me. Call me. Ask me to cover topics. Do whatever. In Jesus' name.
Y'all have a great day.
Y'all have a great day.